This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Okay, everyone, welcome to the People Speak Radio Show here on BBS Radio. Got some great guests tonight. This is your host, Charles Giuliani, once again. Monday, of course, I was on interviewing Jesse Ventura. Last night we had Professor Stephen Jones, a 9/11 researcher, physicist. And now tonight, another set of 9/11 related guests. We've got Corey Rowe and Dylan Avery. I'm going to be bringing them on in just a moment. They are two of the three makers of the Loose Change series of documentaries on 9/11. Very interesting and now world-famous set of documentaries that has probably, more than anything else, served to wake many, many people up to the truth about 9/11. Before I bring them on, let me just mention, if anyone has any questions or comments in the course of the show, you can call in. The toll-free number internationally is 877-489-6350. Again, that's 877-489-6350. And then the toll-free number for the U.S. and Canada is 888-228-4494. And once again, the website for the People Speak Radio is www.peoplespeakradio.net. Okay, with no further ado, the time always flies by on us, so we want to jump into this right away and give our guests as much time to cover this information we're going to be talking about tonight. So let me introduce to you Corey Rowe and Dylan Avery. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, great to have you guys. Literally, you guys have become, you know, the celebrities as far as 9/11 truth goes. I think for a lot of people, when they, you know, think of 9/11, they think of Loose Change. You know, they think of what you guys have done. It's a tremendous service you guys have done. And now to date, of course, you've got your third documentary out on this, Loose Change, The Final Cut. So that's quite an accomplishment.
Absolutely, and we like to just thank, I mean, it's not us, it's everybody out there who really created the buzz about Loose Change. I mean, everybody else was the one who put it up on MySpace videos and Google Video and YouTube and stuff like that, and we were just able to track those hits and just really see where it went. And it was all the supporters out there sending, you know, emails with links and just, hey, check this out, that really just managed to catch the wave at the right time that all those free video services were coming out. And we were able to really get the information that that we put out in our video out there. And then from that, the hundreds of thousands of independent documentaries that have been created and distributed in the same fashion since then has been a milestone. And I believe it's gotten the 9/11 Truth Movement to where it is with this source of free information. And it's been great. It's been great for in so many different ways. And the technology that 9/11 Truth Movement has been incorporating continues to grow as you are starting to see, and we'll continue to see live streaming from events where activists are, so that everybody can check in if they're not able to make it there. So there's, you know, lots of good things going on for 9/11 Truth Movement as it goes with the internet and technological advances.
Yeah, it's growing by leaps and bounds. Absolutely. CNN had an article today, I noticed, saying that Americans are no longer apprehensive about an upcoming terrorist attack. And I think probably one of the reasons for that is that they don't buy 9/11 anymore.
I'm sorry, Dylan, you want to take this?
Maybe. But I don't know, it's interesting. There's been, ever since, I think, at least 2004, there was a lot of chatter in the movement. You know, everybody saw war games happening in this state, and they saw exercises happening in another, and I think everybody was, everybody kept trying to guess, you know, when's the next attack going to happen, when, you know, it's going to be here, it's going to be there, and, you know, just in terms of this, I was actually talking with a barista at Starbucks yesterday, because he was a Loose Change fan. We were talking about this kind of thing, and, you know, personally, what I think it comes down to is that you know, if something else is going to happen, then we're really not going to have any clue until it happens. And until then, I think all we can do is just, you know, just be prepared, but at the same time live our lives, you know? Because I think a lot of people, they live in fear of tomorrow, and they really shouldn't, because, I mean, today's all you got.
Right, exactly. Well, I'll tell you, I think maybe one of the reasons we haven't had another, quote, attack is because I think they're afraid. They realize too many people have caught on to the little scheme. And, you know, they left way too many fingerprints behind all over this thing, haven't they?
Absolutely. And I mean, I think, and I was discussing this with Burmis the other day, that when this happened, I mean, you know, they looked at the television and they said, as soon as it happened, you know, it wasn't the way it was planned to happen. Nothing happened correctly. And they immediately knew that it was going to come out. And so from that, they started doing the damage control that you've seen the Bush administration do. And that's one thing that a lot of people overlook, is everyone says that the Bush administration is so incompetent and the Bush administration can't do anything right. But the one thing that everyone overlooks, or a lot of people overlook, is the one thing that the Bush administration has done extremely successful, and that has been to establish more power within the executive branch. And from that, I mean, it's just, that's where they've gotten the control to wiretap civilians and torture innocent prisoners with no trial and everything like that. And that was the one thing that the Bush administration has continued to do successfully, and is something that I think people should really look at on how the next president is going to utilize those tools that they have available, whether it's going to be, you know, to reinstate the rights that have been taken away from Americans while going over Congress's head. So if Congress says, you know, well, no, we're not going to approve this law that gives back the right for people to not have their backpack searched, then the president can use these executive powers in that manner to give Americans their rights back. Or, of course, they can go in the complete opposite direction, which most of us presume will happen, is that the executive powers will be used in a negative way, and probably before the next election, as a lot of people think that there will be an imminent attack on Iran before the next election and martial law to come from that. So,
yeah, that's a suspicion I have as well. But, you know, what you just mentioned, this massive power grab, you know, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, the Military Commissions Act, and, of course, Homeland Security, the Patriot Act, on and on and on. You put all this together, and, I mean, they haven't made it very obvious that they're just after power, have they?
No, they haven't, and they use this whole persona that they're incapable, that it took 5 days to get water to the Superdome. They didn't get water to the Superdome because they didn't want to get water to the Superdome. They
sure.
put on this whole persona, and everything's blamed on Bush, and evil things are blamed on Cheney, but no one's really looking at exactly that, the power grab that's gone on within the executive branch, and then the things that they've managed to pull out and say and get away with. I mean, the fact that Dick Cheney was able to come out and get a lawyer to write him a statement saying that he wasn't part of the executive branch, and just how they try to twist the words of our country and the laws that we're built on, and use them in their own best fashion.
Yeah, it's like saying, "Come on, the sky is orange. Can't you see?" I mean, it's unbelievable. The heinous lies. You know, I think that was another big turning point, though, the Katrina thing, when people saw that obvious criminal negligence that went on there. I mean, come on, FEMA was caught cutting communication cables. They weren't letting people get out. They weren't letting help get in. They turned away 50 countries. Trucks from all over the country were held at bay for, you know, days and days. They weren't allowed in. I mean, even Fox News was upset over that. I remember watching Geraldo Rivera, for example. He was in tears. You know, let these people out of here, you know. They weren't letting people get out, let alone help get in.
The history of the last 7 years, 7.5 years now has been something I'm interested to see how it's documented, because everybody knows that history is documented by the winners, and we're not winning right now. So, you know, what's going to be written, and what will be the historical remembrance of these last 7.5 to 8 years?
Well, I know they made FDR out to be, some history books actually portray him as the best president in American history. Others say he's one of the best. You got to be kidding. This is a guy who stole all privately owned gold from Americans. Then he turned around less than a year later and devaluated the paper money they traded that gold in for by 59%. All that money went to the primary stockholders of the Federal Reserve. He's sitting pretty from the 29 crash. You know, they walked away holding all the chips. And yet he's hailed as one of the all-time greats. So I imagine they'll probably do the same thing with this scoundrel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
My. But let's go back to, you know, how this whole thing started. I'm sure people are interested. Now you guys, were you college buddies? Were you guys roommates?
No,
we were childhood friends, pretty much.
Oh, really? Okay, going way back then.
Corey and I go way back.
Wow. So, I mean, what got you guys started? I mean, you're just sitting around one day and, you know, hey, let's make a film. I mean, what made you come to the conclusion 9/11 was it?
This is all me. Well, yeah. You know, Corey and I, for the longest time, have always wanted to make movies together and do that kind of thing. But this, you know, Loose Change is really, I think, one of the perfect examples of something just kind of happening, just through an organic process and nothing that was necessarily forced. And, you know, like it said, like Corey said earlier, I mean, we really just kind of came around at the perfect time. You know, we were able to ride the crest of, you know, the internet video wave, and, you know, it served us beautifully. But it wasn't there in the beginning. So pretty much to make a very, very long and convoluted story short, in mid-2002, I was writing what was supposed to be a fictional feature film script with three main characters that were loosely based around myself and my friends, pretty much coming to the realization that the United States government was in one way, shape, or form involved in what happened on 9/11, and pretty much took it upon themselves to, you know, to do something about it. And it really, you know, when 9/11 happened, I was in high school, and, you know, at that point, I took it for what it was and took it for what was advertised, but I didn't get swept up into the same, you know, patriotic pro-war fervor that a lot of other people did. I just kind of took it for what it was and, you know, graduated high school and then went on with my life. But it wasn't until this project came along in mid-2002 that I really started to look into what happened that day. And, you know, I didn't like what I saw. So that, the whole script and the whole fictional film thing took up the next 2 years or so. And mid-2004 is when I abandoned the idea of a feature film. And also February 2004 is when Corey got back from Iraq for the first time. And, you know, he brought back a camera. We shot a couple scenes from The Stress, which is interesting, to say the least. I don't know if that footage will ever see the light of day, but it's definitely interesting.
Now, had you guys made any films before this? Or was this, like, your first time ever doing this?
Corey, you want to talk about AstroCon?
Well, yeah, I mean, not to speak that we ever made films before. Dylan and I took a class together in high school, just a visual arts media class in which Professor Keene would teach us how to use Macintoshes, Adobe Premiere, Adobe Photoshop, and things like that. So, no, we had no basis for ever making films. We were never in film school. We just, you know, and it was so much Dylan who just took the time on a small old compact Casario laptop and sitting in Starbucks and coffee shops and just, you know, assembling information on free internet connections and doing what he could to really, you know, compile the information as it was. And as he told me many times, or maybe not many times, but that it was just a way of portraying the information that he believed in and of course the information that I believed in as well, and just being able to show it to people and not have to be the crazy guy on the bus and just say, you know what, instead of me talking to you and you thinking I'm crazy, here, just watch this. And that's when Dylan and I, in the beginning, would just really go around and just, you know, write on burnt discs of the copies of the movie, you know, watch me, copy me, give me away, and leave them in laundromats and on tables as tips and bars and stuff like that.
Wow.
And that was, you know, that was the early days back in D.C. when it was Dylan and me in a basement apartment, you know, just trying to get the information out there as best that we could.
You guys have come a long way since then, but... Now, I mean, did you have, like, did you do everything yourself, the research, the whole nine yards? You just, you know, without any outside help, or?
Yeah, pretty much it's been Corey and, well, no, you know, not since day one, it's been Corey and I, but, no, you know, in the beginning, you know, originally while Corey was away in the military, obviously it was just me, but then as soon as he got out, you know, we banded together, you know, officially created Louder Than Words, and that's when we started working together on pretty much everything. And like Corey said, you know, for a good couple months, it was just me and him in a basement apartment in D.C., just staring at each other, you know, across our living room table and just going, all right, what do we do today? And, but yeah, we haven't had any research firms. We haven't had any, you know, consultations. The only thing that we've had is the people that have come to us since the movies came out and are like, you know, I want to give you this interview. I want to give you this information. But other than that, I mean, we've had to do a lot of the work ourselves. But then again, that's also really, really quick, I want to put out a disclaimer that doesn't mean that we take credit for a lot of the work in our films, because, I mean, if it weren't for the Truth Movement, if it weren't for a lot of the people that were here before us and, you know, have come out with research since then, I mean, you know, without them, we wouldn't have much. So, I mean, it's because of the hard work of others that we were able to do what we did.
Right, right. And there has indeed been so much, and still more coming out. I was mentioning before the show even started how I had Stephen Jones on last night, and his new findings just blew me away. They actually found unignited, microscopic fragments of thermite. So, you know, there's no question now. He ignited them, and of course they glowed bright, and they produced intensive heat. There's no explaining that, you know. And of course, he tested them chemically, and sure enough, they have all the chemical elements, aluminum, sulfur, of thermite. So there's no question now.
There's definitely no question. I mean, the 9/11 truth movement has been, and there's a lot of different stuff out there that people have changed, and their topics, you know, the no planers or the moon beams or anything, but the real evidence is really out there. And I mean, for the people, and not that I have anything against HARP, because HARP research is very good, but at the same time, you know, we need to focus on the stuff that's credible, that the evidence is right there in front of you, and that's one thing that Stephen Jones and student scholars for 9/11 truth and all these organizations that have sprung up continue to progress forward with, and really, you'll really see, it. And actually, I'm going to give a shout out real quick, because on July 4th is Alec Jones's new film, The 9/11 Chronicles Volume 1. And I don't know if anybody's seen the previews, but I have seen the movie, and it is by far the best picture Alec Jones Productions has ever put out. And it covers it's not as much into the information as much as it really shows the people, the family members, celebrities, politicians, rescue workers, I mean, everybody, the personal aspect. And I mean, that comes out on July 4th. Everybody pick up a copy. It's a really good watch, and it really gets into the emotion and the meat and potatoes, I believe, of the 9/11 truth movement. So just wanted to give that shout out there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that myself. Two more days, folks. Be watching for that. That is going to be good. Yeah, I'm very impressed. He's come a long ways, too. His earlier documentaries, I mean, they were good, the information, you know. But in his more recent ones now have gotten much, much more professional, very, very well done. So, yeah, I imagine this one's going to be, as you said, really good. So, whatever happened with the History Channel thing? I remember, you know, they were supposed to broadcast it here in the States originally, right?
Oh, it has been. Oh, the History Channel special aired in the United States. It was a complete hit piece. It started.
No, Corey, I think he means the actual movie.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, Charles. What are you referring to?
I thought they were going to. They actually did air your whole documentary. I thought it was just in Britain.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have a question. Our video was shown. That was Loose Change Second Edition on September 11th in 2006. Was aired on the History Channel in Australia, and since then has been on the History Channel in a couple of different other countries. It hasn't been aired on the History Channel in the United States.
Originally, it was going to, right?
No, I don't think we ever planned on getting it aired on the History Channel. I don't. A lot of these networks in the United States won't even touch a project like this. And the only projects that they will air, is the ones that are out there that they create that totally, line us up with Holocaust deniers and, that Jews pulled off 9/11, and they just give the one-sided argument. It's much like the first BBC Conspiracy Files and, the History Channel special that was out, and then the new BBC one that's coming out in a couple of days. All these hit pieces, those are the only things that will really air in these empire countries, the United States and Europe and stuff like that. So it
wasn't in Britain at all, it was just in Australia, and you said a couple of...
Well, we've definitely had it aired in Britain on some stations and stuff like that, but not the main stations, not BBC, not that kind of thing, but on like Channel 5 or Channel something, we've had a lot of success in Europe internationally, really. I mean, it's been more mainstream papers over there, more news channels like that, and it's gotten more, government backing and stuff like that, where panels have actually looked into 9/11 in Japan, as well as the British Parliament was going to do that as well. So we've had a lot of success internationally that we haven't had domestically.
Now, what was this about, a movie? You guys actually have a movie coming out, or?
Loose Change is not the end of us. We've did three films, three versions of Loose Change, and I'm sure you'll see a director's cut pretty soon.
Oh yeah.
That's just going to be a shorter version, but at the same time, we're working on new films. Jason is working on Fabled Enemies, that is going to be another 9/11 documentary.
I like that title.
That's going into a lot more information, a lot more deeper information and stuff like that. We have the 9/11 events going on for this anniversary this year that we're making a CD with hip hop artists from New York City and around the world. That all benefits are going to 9/11 first responders and things like that. So we got lots of projects. Loose Change has, we've done our three Loose Change films and we'll do the shorter version for TV, coming up here, just so we can get that out there. But then we are going to move forward and focus on a lot more new projects. I'd say you'll probably see 2 to 3 movies come from us before the end of the year.
Wow. So I guess that kind of answers, I'm looking at the, I'm getting text questions here. Dennis in Florida was asking, is Loose Change the final cut, actually the final cut? But apparently not. You guys got a lot of other things you're working on, huh?
Yes. As far as the Loose Change series, you won't see a Loose Change final cut. You will see
right.
a shorter version only because the movie as it sits right now is 2 hours and 9 minutes. And in order to get it onto 2 television hour spots, it needs to come in around 1:44. So we're going to have to make a shorter version so that we can do TV deals internationally, and as well as hopefully domestic.
When you say movie, it's actually like a dramatization type thing?
Well, no, I mean to get the movie, to get the documentary Loose Change aired on.
Okay, I thought you were talking.
Stations,
yeah.
TV
yeah.
stations and stuff like that. I say movie, I mean Loose Change.
Okay, I thought it was something because I know Alex Jones was talking about making a movie. I wasn't sure if you guys were like teaming up with him on that. I think him and Charlie Sheen.
We're teaming up on him with him with Fabled Enemies. He's a producer on it with myself and Jason Burmes is directing it. So that's the one that we're working on jointly right now. It's between InfoWars and Louder Than Words.
Excellent. Yeah, this is great. Things are really moving. I wonder if anything. Yeah,
we've been real quiet about it because we put so much effort into Final Cut and when it came out, they're like, we want more. So. Like I said, 2 to 3 documentaries from Louder Than Words and InfoWars this year, and then a couple might spring up as well that we're working on closing up on.
Excellent. Yeah, this is really good. I mean, they've been bombarding us relentlessly with propaganda, so we have to counteract that by bombarding people with the truth. And it is effective. I mean, they're really running scared. You know, when you got people like, I'm sure you know, Michael Reagan there, you know, making those threatening comments there. This is how desperate they are. They have to resort to sleazy tactics like that because they know they can't counteract this. You know, even their best shilling scientists like at NIST, they can't answer these questions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, so this is great. Things are really happening. Do you know anything about Alex's plans with Sheen, or that's probably something he's keeping quiet about?
Dylan, if you want to handle this one, but I mean, I just real quick, I've been, they still want to do a project, and it would be in the works. However, you know, there's a lot of background noise in that whole fiasco. So, we've been in touch with, Charlie's people, and Alex has been in touch with Charlie and Charlie's people. So, and they say they definitely want to work on a project. It's just a matter of hammering down things with 2.5 men and things like that.
Oh, I would love to see that. That would be, you know, a dramatization actually showing the background. I'd like to be a consultant, you know, give some advice. Like the opening scene, show the PNAC group sitting around a table and planning, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know PNAC took down their website?
Yeah, I saw that a while ago on 9/11 Blogger. That was interesting.
That is very interesting. Mm. I wonder if the group as a whole has disbanded. Do you guys know?
I wouldn't be surprised. But then again, who knows? You know, they might just be trying to keep their operation on the down low. But I don't know.
Obviously, I think they're afraid too many people will go in there and find out their little plans in advance. For those that don't know, PNAC is the Project for the New American Century neocon think tank. They're the ones that produced the September 2000 report. And they talked about going into Iraq in the coming years and how they needed a new Pearl Harbor type event. So, and you know, this is, you know, drafted up by people like Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Pearl Feet, Abrams. I mean, it's amazing. All you have to do is quote from them themselves. They practically tell you that they did 9/11.
Yeah. And I think it's just my opinion on that, how you see. And this, I mean, if you look at the history of the people that are in government, I mean, Cheney was an aide for Nixon. You know, he's been in the White House forever. These groups will assemble and then they'll disband, and what they'll do is they'll go out and recruit. So you see people who were, you know, head of the CIA or part of the CIA and was working with someone from the DEA 10 years ago, and now they're both cabinet officials for the Bush administration. And, of course, while they were working for the CIA, ran missions for Senior Bush. So you see these bands of people go out and then come back together and do some kind of material together, or war games, or any of the numerous things that these think tanks do. And then they'll disband and go out and meet other people and do other things and then come back together. And it's just kind of, I don't know, it's an interesting
concept. I love the swinging door, the revolving door between Washington and big corporate America, too, you know, Halliburton. It's just a coincidence, isn't it, that Cheney was their CEO and now they're getting all the unbidded contracts.
And it's so much worse than that. It really is. I mean, these people are so linked in. I mean, the United States is a corporation. Everything, America is a corporation. You know, everything is designed now to pretty much pay upwards. And I think this gets into the Jordan Maxwell idea where everybody is truly slaves, and how you get into the fact that when you're born, you have the birth certificate. And if you die at birth, you get a death certificate. And then you go through your life and you fill out paperwork and you pay charges for getting arrested and you pay your taxes and you pay for your registration on your car and you pay for your license and you pay for your education, and everything continues to go up in this pyramid structure where the elite are always receiving it, but at this time they've managed to keep the slaves down, and that's what they continue to do.
Total control and exploitation. Yeah, unfortunately that's where we're at. Tell you what, guys, we got to go to a short break, but stick with us, folks. We're going to be right back with Corey Rowe and Dylan Avery from Loose Change. Be right back.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
This is Gore Vidal. Can you name the one country on earth where the government can steal elections, strip away basic rights, spy on civilians, launch wars based on lies, and where the people do not take over the nation's capital in protest? If you said the United States, you'd be right. So let's remedy that by calling our Congress members and asking them to support the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
This land is yours.
Join us on the People Speak Radio Show every Tuesday and Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for an hour of live interview and audience interaction with guests from the realms of entertainment, education, activism, spirituality, politics, and literature. Get involved and make a difference for the better. That's the People Speak every Tuesday and Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio Network.
More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution every year because of sex tourism. Morocco has become a favorite destination. The economic difficulties contribute to the alarming growth of this industry. SOS Morocco's mission is to let the world know that it's against the law, a human and moral crime, to travel to Morocco with the intent to engage in sexual activity with a child. Please visit SOSMorocco.org for more information and to support our endeavors.
This land is yours.
Okay, we're back, folks. Again, this is your host, Charles Giuliani, here on the People Speak Radio Show. And our guest, Corey Rowe and Dylan Avery, two of the three people that put together the famous Loose Change series of documentaries on 9/11. Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys, you know, you've obviously done a lot of talk shows, TV, radio. What would you say were some of your most rewarding debuts, I mean, you know, interviews that you've had where, you know, mainstream ones, you know, where you felt you reached the most people and you were able to say what you wanted to say without getting cut off or attacked or demonized? Or did you have any good moments like that, or has it always been, you know, called unpatriotic and un-American? Were you attacked?
No, real quick, I got to say that I think to date, just because we've had so much press, I don't want to leave anything out, but the first thing that really comes to mind when it comes to a positive media experience is the Vanity Fair piece, which is one of the ones that covered us not right when Second Edition came out, but in the month afterwards where things were really starting to take off and we really started to go supernova with the second one. The Vanity Fair piece, you know, it was written by Nancy Jo Sales. You know, she's a great woman. Her husband works at St. Mark's Church, which is where a lot of the 9/11 truth meetings are held. So it was definitely a very, very good piece on us. And I don't know, that's really the first thing that comes to mind, just because it was overall a very positive piece, and she only brought up our detractors because she had to.
Vanity Fair has actually done some good things over the years. I have to say, very unbiased. They did a whopping interview with Paul Wolfowitz, where they squeaked out of him an admission that the WMD excuse was concocted for bureaucratic reasons. I don't know if you saw that, but they don't hold back, it seems. They're pretty... How about live media, you know, radio, TV? I don't imagine you've been on Fox, have you guys?
Well, actually, that's what I was just going to get into. We've been on Fox, not personally. We've been bashed on Fox. We've been bashed by Hannity and Combs and Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly. So, I mean, they've all uttered the words loose change, and they've all talked about it with a disgusting tone. But I want to say the best media that I think that we've gotten was probably the first Fox, was the affiliate Fox in Binghamton, New York, that was able to get up on the internet. And what's important about this was it was a Fox affiliate, so they were really, really in our favor. They showed what they asked us what they wanted to show and stuff like that. And what we were able to do was capture it and put it up on the internet. And even though it was a Fox affiliate, it was still a Fox News covering the fact of loose change and getting into it. And this went up along with the Google. And then that right there really catapulted us, because once that got on the internet, then the next week, I believe it was, we got in touch with Air America. I don't remember the guy's name that got in touch with us from Air America. And he put us on there, and we got, like, the next day we went from 3,000 hits a day to, like, 150,000 hits a day on our website. And it was just from there. Then the Vanity Fair came in, and then Time Magazine came in, and then the Terrible Hustler article came in, and all those different things. So, I mean, as far as I think the best TV we got was definitely the first Fox one. And ever since then, we've had good ones. CNN was very, very favorable to us. They did a great interview, and they didn't make us out to be lunatics. They just made us out to be guys who made this movie, and it's out there, and you can take what you want from it. And that was that. And of course, you know, they did a little bashing, but it was fair.
Wow, that's impressive. That's really good. Tell you what, I got some more questions coming in here. We got Mike in California, and he asks, has Corey and or Dylan been approached by either the FBI or any other government federal agency about the films?
Not directly, no. They don't come to our house and check in or anything like that. However, there's no question in my mind that there's files on us. There's files on pretty much I'd say 25% of the movement out there. Anybody who's making recent blog posts, or anybody who's making phone calls or doing any kind of radio shows, interviewing on either side of the table, whether the interviewee or the interviewer, I believe that that there's files on everybody. I mean, they've put in the 9/11 conspiracy theories into, what was it, Dylan, the FBI training videos or something along those lines, where they would flash Al-Qaeda terrorists doing certain things, and then the next frame it would flip to 9/11 conspiracy website. So they're trying to link us up with terrorism and terrorists and stuff like that.
I'm sure you heard about the violent radicalization bill they're trying to get through.
Actually, no, I have not. You want to give me the rundown?
Yeah, it was already passed by the House. It's H.R. 1955. You might want to Google that and read it.
H.R. 1955. Yeah, I got you. I know what you're talking about.
Right, violent radicalization. So basically, it mentions... you know, anti-government sentiments is a ripe breeding ground for terrorism, and so now they want to be, if this bill goes through, I mean, they would basically be going after, you know, internet radio like this show and, you know, blog sites and whatnot, and labeling it as, you know, terrorism, basically. It's just unbelievable.
Any voice of dissent?
What's that?
I said any voice of dissent, you know, that's what they'll come after.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
exactly
where it'll start at. It'll start as an extremist, and then they'll just work their way down until they desensitize everyone into thinking that if you say anything, then you'll be blackbagged. So, I mean, you know, it's always a steady increase or steady decline.
Very obvious what their agenda is there. Boy, the questions are coming in here. I've got one from Aaron in Arizona. Which countries outside of the United States have been the most responsive to your films?
Oh, wow, that's a tough one. Man, I think Japan and Korea. No, not necessarily Japan. I know Korea was pretty big on it. I'm just trying to not misspeak here, but unfortunately there's nothing that's really jumping out to me. I mean, really, almost all of the European countries and almost all foreign nations have been incredibly more receptive to this than the United States.
Wow.
And I'd like to jump into the fact that it is not as much as supporting our film, but is supporting the 9/11 truth movement and things we looked into. I mentioned briefly before that the Japanese were looking into it, and I actually never heard the results of whatever happened with that, but, you know, they were looking into it. And then as far as countries that really take up into this 9/11 conspiracy videos kind of thing, Italy's a big one. That's the one that, what's the name of that one that just came out of Italy, Dylan?
Zero.
Yeah, Zero just came out of Italy, as well as they're really a big supporter of loose change there. And then, you know, the European countries are big supporters, Germany, and like Dylan was very correct in saying, South Korea was a big fan of ours. They dubbed it over into their language and everything like that. So, you know, the ones that have been the biggest supporters are the ones that out there, that it's in their own language now because someone took the time to revocalize it in a foreign language and put subtitles on the screen and then put it up on Google or YouTube. And that's been very responsive for us.
Excellent. I guess I made a mistake. I guess that last question I asked you was from Susan in Illinois. Sorry about that, Susan. I got another one here. This was, Fred in Connecticut. He asks, how much would you say Pearl Harbor was like 9/11?
I'd say, go ahead, Dylan, you got this one.
I would say Pearl Harbor is like 9/11 in the respect that in both instances, as far as I can tell, in both instances, there's people in government that had clear-cut knowledge that something of that nature was around the corner.
I'm just trying to
speak carefully there, but yeah, I think that they definitely have their own similarities.
Well, I mean, as we look back over the, you know, the past 100 years, this government has been either instigating incidents or creating them directly, but almost always for the purpose of getting us into war. And so, you know, when you look at it from the historical perspective, it's like, yeah, I mean, 9/11 is no problem seeing it for what it is, because it's nothing new. The only thing new about 9/11, of course, is that now we're the target here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, well, I mean, they used Pearl Harbor the same way that they did 9/11. It was an attack from a foreign nation that we knew was coming. We pulled the ships into the harbor so that it would be more catastrophic. It was similar in so many different ways, and the reaction was so similar as well. The huge swirling race of pride and patriotism that overtook our country, getting into the war and everything like that. It's similar in so many different ways. And I mean, after the fact, it was, you know, it was said and it was stated that that it was known that it was coming, and of course everyone said no, that's not coming at all. And then what happened, the Department of the Navy investigated it, and they said, yeah, it was, you know, it was known, and certain things were done that way, and people were supposedly held accountable, but weren't really, much like the Warren Commission.
Right. Here we go again, business as usual. You know, I guess I read the text.
History repeating itself.
Yeah, it is. I guess I read the text wrong. That Susan in Illinois, I guess her question was, do you guys keep in touch with Willie Rodriguez? Of course, he was the janitor that worked in the North Tower and did survive and told his story of, you know, hearing explosions going off.
I don't see, I haven't talked to Willie recently, but we definitely keep in touch with him as much as we can, as much as we do with a lot of the people that are out there in the movement that we see and often speak with at different events. He's a great guy. He's got a great story, and he's doing good things. He's out there trying to spread the truth and trying to spread awareness. He's gone internationally, a lot down into Venezuela, and a lot all over the place internationally, and he's really helped to get out there and spread the message of truth for the survivors of 9/11. And he's an important figurehead of the movement, and we thank Willie for everything that he's done.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's another one who got disgusted. You know, he was before the 9/11 Commission, I'm sure you guys know, and basically they kept cutting him off. They wouldn't let him get his points, and they did that to Louis Cascioli, too, one of the firemen, both of which were talking about explosives, and they wanted this looked into, and, you know, they were just blackballing him. They weren't letting him talk.
Mm-hmm. That's too bad.
Very, very sad. Okay, we've got Jan in Idaho. She asks, who do you support for the presidency? Oh, boy.
Well, I'll jump out there because I actually just registered to vote for my first time. While I was in the service, I didn't vote for whatever reason. I was overseas and absentee ballot and the whole thing. It wasn't on my mind. And I just registered to vote. I registered Democrat, and I will be voting for Barack Obama. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, even though the electoral process is ridiculous and your vote doesn't really mean anything, I'm
right,
still going to do it just because it's, you know, the election is a joke. And even if the votes did matter, they've got computer systems on top of that. So, I mean, they're going to pick the next president. They already know the next president's going to be.
Right.
I hope it'll be Barack Obama because he is a nobody from nowhere who's got a clean history, and he believes in the ideals, some of them, not all of them, that I think are absolutely imperative for this country. I mean, he wants to hold people accountable. I'm all about the whole new thing that's in the news right now to getting more Peace Corps. I think there should be a new branch of the military that deals with just, just relief in foreign countries as well as our other ones for natural disasters or war-ridden countries or anything like that. So he's got a lot of good ideas. He speaks a really big game. Yes, of course, he's met with CFR. Yes, of course, he's cupped the genitals of a lot of people that we don't agree with. But, you know, what are you going to do? You're not going to get into a position of power, especially running corporate America, without getting the backing of the CFR, without getting the backing of these other organizations that he's met with. And
well, the whole point is, we know what we're going to get with McCain. I mean,
exactly. We know where we're going there. So, you know, if we can, at the very least, get, you know, something a little bit better. Hold on a second. Sorry about that.
I got the same problem here.
if we can get at least someone in our corner who has some of the same ideals, instead of saying, well, you know what, I think everybody should join the service. I think it doesn't matter how we got here. We just have to move forward, and that terrorists are everywhere, and let's increase the national defense budget and okay NAFTA and everything else. So, you know, I'm not for John McCain, and I don't want to waste my wasted vote anyway. So, but I do support a lot of the ideals of Barack Obama.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Here's a good question. This is from Mark in Texas. He asks, do you think that Dennis Kucinich will fulfill his November 2007 promise of opening another 9/11 investigation?
Well, I mean, me personally, I wish him the best of luck, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah. I don't either.
I mean, he's just one man. I mean, it's going to take a lot more than his hopes and dreams to get a new investigation on the ground. I don't mean that to naysay, and I don't mean that to bash him in any way.
Yeah,
I think he's totally sincere, and I wish him absolutely the best of luck, and I hope to God that he does something. But I mean, I've seen the way the cards have been dealt these past 7 years, and I mean, I don't know. I'm calling.
Vote for impeachment a couple weeks ago. It was unanimous, but are they doing anything about it? No.
Well,
you know, we got a Democratic majority in Congress. Are they doing anything? Are they stopping the war? You know, we got Pelosi. Oh, don't worry, we're not going to have impeachment proceedings. I mean, it's disgusting.
I agree with you on that one.
Do we have to get Monica Lewinsky over to the Oval Office again?
didn't they just do something where, didn't like, what was it, 24 or something, Republic, didn't they just do some kind of impeachment hearing in the Senate or in the Congress?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They voted a majority to impeach, but they didn't follow up on it. It's just in limbo. It's just like a propaganda token, you know, just to keep the masses quiet. make them think like they're doing something, but yeah, you know, the truth is, even if they get it at this point, isn't it just a little bit too little too late, you know?
It's way too little too late, and I think it gets back to the power of the executive branch that even if they did draft something that he could be impeached, is, you know, how quickly he could just overturn it and say, no, I'm not. So, I mean, and that gets back into, you know, a lot of people who are so worried about the fact of martial law being installed before the election and elections being suspended and everything like that. So, you know, I'm actually reading a MySpace message right now from a guy named Joshua who's, you know, really, really worried about, that gets back to H.R. 1955, you know, and how it flew right through the House with a vote of 405-6 and everything like that. So, you know, there's lots of people out there that are worried about that thing.
Right, right. Okay, here's the question. This is from Jen in Washington, D.C., and she asks, why hasn't the Loose Change crew gone into more detail about Israeli complicity in the 9/11 attacks?
Sure,
That one's all you.
Okay, sure. Real quick, while we were making the Loose Change series, one thing that we tried to make as our films evolved was we tried to get, you know, the most solid information possible. And how there is so much solid information about the Israeli connection and everything like that. What we were trying to do with our films was turn on as many people to the 9/11 truth movement as possible. And one thing that happens as soon as you bring up the involvement as the Israeli government or the Israeli angle or anything like that, the powers that they really played in 9/11, you get a lot of people to jump on board and say that you're Holocaust deniers and everything like that.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We tried to keep that out of our first films. However, Fabled Enemies will go very deeply into foreign governments that were involved in 9/11. Of course, Israel is not the only foreign government that was involved. Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, you know, Iran, these other countries were involved in 9/11. And of course, Afghanistan and Iraq being very, very, not being involved very much, excuse me. So, you'll see a lot more information come from Louder Than Words and Infowars.com on the Israeli connection and everything like that. In the next, actually, September 1st is the set debut date of Fabled Enemies. So you'll get a good handful of foreign government information that isn't really out there yet in Fabled Enemies. And, of course, it'll be up for free like everything else.
Yeah, excellent. I agree with that, too. I wrote a self-published book on 9/11. I don't address the Israeli thing at all for that same reason. I do address it in other things I've written. But, yeah, in there you just want to keep it with just that issue. I mean, most people can barely handle that, never mind going into so many other things. You know, it's overwhelming.
Exactly. The basket is full of things to choose from and the best evidence that you want to put forward, and we figured it just wasn't the best way to grab people's attention.
Right.
So, real quick, if I may, before we run out of time on the show, I just want to say to everybody who's out there listening or may listen that September 11th this year, we're doing it again. It's going to be bigger and better every year is. So the details are going to be released probably beginning of next week on everything that's going on. Going to be a big movement down at Ground Zero, as well as street action all over the place. We're already applying for permits, and we've got a Truth Festival scheduled for the full day of Friday and Saturday, and a hip-hop concert Friday night with some really big bands, really big names, and we're just trying to get a lot of people out there to show that we're not going anywhere, because this is the last year with Bush in office, and it's now or never. So,
right, exactly. Yeah. Also, before the show ends, I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to, you know, plug any website or anything else you'd like to share.
I'll jump out there real quick. I think the Denver 9/11 Truth Group, Denver We Are Change, is doing some very extensive work out there. John in Colorado, as well as all the guys he's working with, he posts on our blog, and he does some really extensive work. He's done some really good undercover work for the DNC that's coming up in Denver. How they're setting up camps. They're doing martial law drills as we speak. They're putting in place of gases and stuff to control population. And they're really, really worried about what's going out there around the DNC. So if you want to check it out, check out our blog or just Google the Denver We Are Change chapter, and you'll get a handful of extremely good information that you might not be subject to. And join their mailing list. And
excellent.
Dylan, anyone out there? Truther?
No, man, you pretty much took the words out of my mouth. You know, there's tons of stuff going on in San Diego all the time. You know, me and Abby are always doing actions, whether it's Blackwater or 9/11 Truth. We're doing our best out here on the West Coast, and of course, you know, there's We Are Change LA, there's We Are Change San Francisco, there's chatters all over the place.
So pretty much I'd like to give a shout out. I'd like to give a shout out to everybody.
No,
so you were involved
and,
in protesting Blackwater too, huh?
Sorry.
What was that, Corey?
Where are we?
No, I was just saying, so you were involved in protesting against Blackwater too?
Yeah, there was Blackwater was trying to set up a training facility here in San Diego, and a bunch of local activists managed to shut that plan down, but now they're actually pushing for another one right on the border, and they tried to slip it under the radar as some other thing when it was clearly Blackwater, and I just went to a rally against that like a week or two ago, and there's definitely lots of things going on out here on the West Coast.
Glad to see you guys are active in so many different areas. That's great. Yeah, Blackwater is another major problem. There's just so much crime and corruption and just blatant in-your-face criminality with this administration. It's unbelievable. I mean, every day there's something going on, and not just one thing. There's multiple things going on. It's almost overwhelming. You can't even
keep
up.
It is unbelievable. And we're, in the words of Brian here at SMT Studios, we were all slaves. So, you know, it's terrible.
Tell you what, we got a couple more minutes left here. We got another question that came in from Kerry in Pennsylvania. He asks if you guys have any dreams of becoming Hollywood directors in the future or producers.
Dylan, that's all you, buddy.
I'm working on a script right now. Apart from that, the other thing I'm working on the side, I'm working on this new kind of news network. Pretty much, it's focused more on actually getting to the bottom of things and getting solutions instead of just focusing on the problems. There's a horror film that I may or may not be an assistant director on. They're trying to secure funding. They just got their female lead, and we're trying to figure out what's going on with that. And I've got numerous people that I could show the script to when I'm done writing it. So really, right now I'm just kind of trying to soak in the sun and surf whenever I can and stay active in 9/11 Truth and keep pushing forward and try to be an actual director, because that's how I got into this in the first place.
Is that a film about the neocons, the horror film? Or?
No, sir. It's about people being tortured in basements.
Yeah, really. Same idea. Boy, you don't need to watch horror films anymore. Just read the headlines. It's just, it's unbelievable. Torture. Did you ever think you'd see the day where we know that they've, you know, been engaging in this kind of activity for a long time now, but to actually be doing it now openly and make it official policy, this is astonishing because, of course, historically that's something the U.S. is supposed to have been against.
Yes, of course. And actually, there's a story I want to jump to real quick. Is when I was just in newspapers recently, even my hometown paper, it was on the back page about how, soldiers in the Navy were on a Navy ship that was gassed with sarin gas and VX gas sometime, I believe it was in the 60s or 70s, and the government was the ones who gassed them, and they also gassed half a dozen states to go ahead and test this sarin gas and VX gas on young human beings, and it came out that they did it, and these soldiers went to Congress, and they pleaded for, you know, medical funding so that they could treat the diseases that the country had given them, and they said, yeah, we gassed you, but we're not going to take care of you. And they told them no, and that was headed up by our current president, George W. Bush, who told them to go away.
Well, that figures, doesn't it? Boy.
Yeah, I got an Iraqi out here that served over in the war, and pretty much he lost his eyesight because the soldier that he was riding a Humvee with accidentally discharged its weapon. And we didn't get the full story, but pretty much this guy lost his vision completely, and he's actually now getting billed for medical expenses and getting billed for not being able to work instead of getting his eyesight taken care of.
Can you believe this?
I can't believe it, actually, and that's the sad part.
They claim when you protest this fast war that you're not supporting the troops, and yet they're turning around and doing this stuff. Yeah, they want to cut back on the health care benefits. And you know why? Because when they come back here, they're going to need a lot of health care because they're getting limbs blown off, they're breathing depleted uranium, and accidents like you just mentioned. It's horrific.
Yeah, you could say that.
Well, look what they did to the first responders. You know, they called them heroes too, right? But then all the while they were lying to them about the condition of the air, and now they're dying left and right from Hodgkin's lymphoma, breathing in all the toxins at ground zero.
And, of course, the 9/11 Relief Fund has now, it just came out in the news, how the 9/11 Relief Fund is being spent on dinners and driving and taking care of people in hotel rooms. And it's been millions and millions of dollars, and it's all been for political means, and none of that money has gone to someone who needs a respirator.
Unbelievable.
Oh, wow, weird.
Oh, and how about all the human remains that, you know, they keep, just dug up a road last year that was laid down right after 9/11. They found 36 bone pieces just lying there under the surface. Two huge steel girders that were never removed, and then it turns out they were using some of the remains, you know, some of the dust in human bone pieces, grinding them up and selling them for a roadfill. I mean, there's just no end to this.
They were using that fill. They're still selling it. Actually, they're selling it in Albany. In fact, my lawyer James Gorley called me up, and he's been trying to purchase some of that dust. Because he wants to test it, and he hasn't called me back on that yet. But it is supposedly there's a company in Albany that is selling the dust from 9/11 as concrete filler.
Incredible! It just goes on and on. Anyway, guys, I guess that's all the time we have. I wish we could go on. There's so much to talk about. But again, I want to commend you guys. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. Looking forward to your future projects. And don't forget, guys, in two more days, Alex Jones' new 9/11 film is coming up. But once again, you want to. Look into some more of you know, and keep up with the work of Corey and Dylan, and you know what they got coming up. You can go to loosechange911.com. And so again, I want to thank you guys. Great job.
All right, man. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you,
it was a great show. And,
yeah, you
we'll
bet.
Be on anytime.
Thank you, man. Keep it up.
All right, you too.
Cool. Okay, folks, that's all the time we have. I want to mention once again the website for the People Speak Radio. It's people. It's thepeoplespeakradio.net. Go check out the website, and of course, you'll see all the archives for the shows on there. You can go listen in later by tomorrow. I'm sure that tonight's show will be posted on there. So thanks again for joining us, and we got some more great shows lined up for next week. So stay tuned. See you then.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the sea wall, by the relief fund, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering, if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.